Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 30 to 32. Actually, we went down to verse 33 when we talked about wives and their submission. But in verses 30 to 32, we see the mystery of the church. So we want to study the mystery of the church today. The Bible says, "We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now notice that. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now, I wanted to repeat that for you so you could get every word of what was in the text. If you're reading along with me, or if you're familiar with a modern Bible like an NIV or an NASV, you might have noticed something missing in your Bible from what I just quoted to you. See, verse 30 says, "We are a member of his body," and then it goes on to say, "of his flesh and of his bones." Well, at least the NIV and the New American Standard Version don't have "of his flesh and of his bones." And I'm not sure about the other versions. I haven't checked into those, but I know those two at least don't have that in there. You can check your own version and see. But when you take "of his flesh and of his bones" out of the verse, then you have destroyed a very, very important lesson that the Lord has for you in that particular verse of Scripture. When he says we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, then you understand the body is not some sort of a spiritual, unseen, universal, thought-out type of body, a spiritual thing. It is a physical body, a body with flesh and a body with bones. Now, you might remember, since we're talking about marriage here, back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, when Adam saw Eve, and Eve was made from his rib, he woke up and he said this, Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now watch it. He's going to say the same thing that Ephesians does. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Well, that's what's here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. "A man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And Adam said the same thing about his body when he saw Eve, "bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," that Christ said about his body when he talked about the church, "of his flesh and of his bones." So you destroy a tremendous cross-reference and a tremendous lesson when you take that portion of Scripture out of verse 30. People say, you know, why do you say anything about the King James Bible? That's one good reason right there. Another thing, notice that there are a lot of people today that believe that body, the body of Christ, is a spiritual thing into which we all enter by salvation in Jesus Christ. But the problem is you've got a lot of people who aren't saved claiming to be a part of that body because they're a member of a church. They go to a Presbyterian or a Methodist or an Episcopalian or a Baptist or a Catholic or a whatever kind of a church, and they claim to be a part of Christ's body because they're a member of that church. They were baptized into that church. And because they don't understand that when Christ had Paul write these words, he was talking of his flesh and of his bones, so they don't realize that, then they don't realize that it's not a spiritual body that you enter by baptism into a local church. It is a physical body that has flesh and has bones. So you're looking over here in Genesis chapter 2, and Adam looks at Eve and he says, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And then you go over here to Luke chapter 24 and you see that Christ resurrected from the dead. People say, oh, well, that was a spiritual resurrection. We don't believe that he really came up out of the tomb. There are people that go around and believe that. I think the Jehovah's Witnesses are or one group that believed that he had a spiritual resurrection, but not a physical resurrection. But according to Luke chapter 24 in verse 39, he had a physical resurrection. And not only that, when he appeared to them, he said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." Well, now that's interesting. Notice what he said. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Well, Adam didn't say anything about blood in Eve's body. And Christ didn't say anything about his blood here. And Christ didn't say anything about blood in the body, which is the church. He just speaks of flesh and bones. And that's kind of an interesting thing. You might want to study that out sometime. But notice all three of these are cross-references for each other. In other words, when Christ rose from the dead with a physical body that had flesh and bones, what happened to that body? Well, you know, in Acts chapter 1, that body went up. And it was a physical body. They saw it go up. It got caught up into the clouds. They beheld he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And you know something? That body's going to come back. He says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So it's going to be visible. He's going to come in the clouds, just like Matthew chapter 24 said. And when he comes, you're going to see him, and he's going to be in that same body that has flesh and bones. Now the Bible says, and this is what the real ticket is, you are a member of that flesh and of that bones. You say, now how is that possible? That's why it's a mystery in verse 32. Well, here's how it happens. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that you went through a baptism that was not a water baptism. Now, this is why a lot of denominational churches confuse water baptism with salvation. I mean, I can see, and I think you can too, how they get into the trouble that they get into. You got a lot of people that think if you go through a water baptism, that'll save you. I know the Catholic Church believes that, and I've been to several funerals where they say that even at the funeral, that he was born into the God's family through baptism. I know the Church of Christ believes that. I believe that the Presbyterian Church believes that, Methodist Church, and so forth. But in those churches, they believe you can lose your salvation, and I think all the churches that believe you can go into Christ's quote-unquote spiritual body by baptism, by water baptism, believe that you can lose your salvation. But you know something? If you believe that you get into Christ's physical body by a spirit baptism, then you don't believe you can lose your salvation. That's what's unique about people who believe the Bible versus people who believe what they've been taught in their denominational churches. Because you see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, you're not talking about water. The whole chapter is about spiritual things, and it's talking about a physical body. Notice what he says in verse 12. "As the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, not by one pastor. For by one Spirit, not by one church. For by one Spirit, not by one baptism. But for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now there are a group of people that also believe their local church is the body of Christ. And I can see how they get into that situation because they're dealing with physical members. But the truth of the matter is they believe that primarily because they don't believe in a universal invisible church. And that's true. There's not a universal invisible church. There's a universal visible church. That is universal in the sense that anybody throughout the church age that has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior was baptized by that Holy Spirit into that body. But that's not an invisible body. It's very physical and it's located in a very specific place. Not universal in the sense that it's just kind of all over the universe. It's located at the right hand of God the Father. It's seated there in its throne. That's where Jesus' body is. You know that if you read your Bible. All right, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It doesn't make any difference if you were a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't make any difference if you were bond or free. It didn't make any difference what your background was. Once you're saved, you're a new creature. You're baptized into that body. Now notice, then in the rest of the chapter, down to about verse 27, Paul goes on talking about feet and hands and ears and eyes and noses and mouths and the whole thing. That's a physical body. And those members are a member of a physical body. You were baptized into that body by the Holy Spirit. Look at it again in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, you see that you actually went into Christ's death, into Christ's tomb, into Christ's crucifixion. and experienced all of that by the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 is not a water baptism. It's often taught that it is, but it's not. You can't find water from the very beginning of the book of Romans to the end of the book of Romans. It's a spirit baptism. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Water baptism, they never profess puts you in Jesus Christ. They profess that it puts you into His church. And therefore they say that church is Christ's body, and therefore you got into Christ's body through their church. That's not what he's saying here at all. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. Well, I know where Jesus Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God in His throne. You're baptized into His death. Well, water baptism is just a figure, according to 1 Peter 3:21, of that. But here you're literally into His death. You're buried with Him. With Him! Well, He was buried by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also, in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Water baptism can't do that for you. It doesn't wash off the sins. I know people go to Acts chapter whatever that is and try to prove that by Paul's testimony of his baptism, that he washed his sins away in water. It's not possible. If the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin, water in somebody's baptismal font's surely not going to do it. The only thing that's going to get rid of that sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And you walk in that newness after the Holy Spirit puts you into that body and baptizes you into that death, burial, and crucifixion and resurrection. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, that's a spiritual transaction that takes place by the Holy Spirit. Now notice how profound it is. In Romans chapter 7, you've actually experienced a death. Doctrinally, God sees your body as a dead man. Well, I know it's alive, but God, as far as He's concerned, sees your body as hanging on the cross and dead. He cares nothing for your body. Like an old friend of mine came one time, he said, why do you suppose God said to a man that if his foot offended him, he was to cut it off? And I said, why? And he said, because God doesn't care anything about no foot. The truth of the matter is God doesn't care about your body. It's strange today, but so much attention in preaching is on the body. Heal me, heal me, heal me. Make me feel better. The truth of the matter is your body's heading for a grave. Your soul's heading into heaven. God will call that body out later and He'll fashion it after His glorious body. But in the meantime, you may be like Paul and called to suffer. You may be granted a miraculous healing. It's the same Spirit and the same God. You're not any more spiritual just because you got healed or any more despicable because you didn't. God may choose for one to heal him and for another to let him suffer. It's all for God's glory. As far as he's concerned, doctrinally, the body's dead anyway. So Romans chapter 7 talks about that. In verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Well, you go back there, read the Old Testament, and you can know what the law says. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband, it doesn't say hath a man, it said a husband. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now let me tell you something. You haven't lost your life. You're physically not dead. If you were, you wouldn't be listening to me preach to you on the radio right now. You're alive, but doctrinally, as far as God is concerned, you're dead. You're dead by the body of Christ. Dead to the law by the body of Christ. Why? That you should be married. You know, you're the bride of Christ. To another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Well, what killed you? What killed you is the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. What killed you is Christ's death. You went into that death. What killed you is that Christ has fulfilled the law. And therefore, by being in Christ, you have fulfilled the law. You have His righteousness, not by the law, but by faith. So while you're still alive, doctrinally, you're dead. And while this man is still alive, if that woman gets a divorce from her husband, he is no longer her husband and she is no longer his wife. Therefore, she's not bound by the law to that man because he's not her husband. If you go back and read in Deuteronomy 22 and 24, you'll find out that there is a provision for a woman, and she's not an adulteress if she does this, to be divorced from one man and marry another. You read that in Deuteronomy chapter 24. The only thing is, she can't go back and marry the man that she was formerly married to, in the same way that you cannot go back and marry your flesh. You see, you and your flesh were married, your soul and your flesh were, because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But through a spiritual circumcision that took place through the baptism of the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, you received a spiritual circumcision talked about in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, where the body of your sins was cut away, the body of the sins of the flesh was cut away by a circumcision of Christ, an operation of God made without hands, so that your soul was put into Christ, and as far as God is concerned, your body is dead. Now, you're not free to go back and marry that body. That's why there's eternal security. Because you're now married to Christ. But you're not an adulteress, though your body's alive, because according to the law, your body's dead. You're no longer the husband of that soul. Christ is. Now, that may be a little bit difficult for you, but if you'll just read over those verses and see in the context of what's going on here, you'll understand it fully. All right, now what happens then? You're spiritually put into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And you're a member of his flesh and of his bones, therefore you are one body with him. And as one body you are joined unto him, as a wife is joined unto her husband, they two shall be one flesh. Well, then what happens? Well, when you die, what happens is your body goes to the grave. I've been to funerals. That's one of the first questions that I asked the Lord. You know, I got saved, but I wasn't reading any Bible, and I got really badly backslidden when I got back on with the Lord, and I started reading the Bible. I said, now, wait a minute, Lord. You said that I go to heaven when I die, and I believe that. I've been to a lot of funerals, and they say he's in a better place now. But I said, Lord, every time I go to those funerals, I see that body lying in that casket. Now, how can you tell me the man's in a better place now, and I see his body in that casket? I said, you mean to tell me that the grave is better than life? I couldn't figure it out, so I started praying and reading, looking for the Holy Spirit to give me some understanding there. And one day I realized, my body is not all there is to me. I have a soul and I have a spirit. And I realized something else, that as soon as my body dies, my soul departs. When I'm saved, my soul departs and goes to be with the Lord. So where do you get that from? 2 Corinthians 5:8. The Bible says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's immediate. The moment you die, you go there. But your body goes to the grave. Well, what happens to your body? I mean, is that it? You just lived in that vessel? I mean, that vessel was the temple of the Holy Ghost. What, are you just going to leave the body and that's it? No, the body decomposes. It becomes worm food or shark food or fish food or, you know, ashes, wherever, however you were buried, however you, whatever you, you know, happened to you, cremation, buried in dirt, buried in the sea, whatever. Not much happens to it. It just decomposes. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, all that kind of stuff. Then what? What happens? Well, the Lord comes back. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So if you're dead when the Lord comes back, God recomposes the body. Like Ezekiel 37 shows you, the valley of dry bones and the skin and the sinew and then the flesh and then the wind all come into that, and then that becomes living people, and that's the opening of the graves of Israel, and everybody's brought to life like that. Resurrection, national resurrection of Israel. It's like that. God just puts the body back together, but this time when he puts it back together, it's sinless. Well, what if you're alive at the rapture? Well, if you're alive at the rapture, then what happens is your body changes, according to 1 Corinthians 15. Who shall change our vile bodies? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So he'll just change it. It won't go through the corruption process. It'll just change. And what will it look like? Well, it's going to look like Jesus, thank God. According to Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So we're going to look like Jesus. It's going to change. You're going to have a perfect body. Jesus ascended up into heaven as quickly as you could blink an eye and came right back. Took the souls of those that were held captive up to there and then came back. In one place, the disciple Mary sees him right after he resurrects from the grave. He says to her, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father." An hour or two later, they see him again, and they hold him by the feet. That means he's already gone up and come back. You'll have a body like that. You'll have intergalactic space travel. Be great. 1 John 3:2 says, "But now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ in a glorious body. Well, that's wonderful then. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Then you understand, concerning the church, what he meant when he said in Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Well, that's true. When the Lord comes back and takes us at the rapture and then goes back into heaven for the marriage, what he gets is not this old beat up nasty flesh, these vile attitudes and this, you know, discord in the church and all these divided up churches and everybody go down the street and split and start another church, and he won't have all that. Present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, because the flesh will be totally clean. The soul is already clean by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit's clean because of the Holy Spirit. Not having wrinkle, go through the judgment seat of Christ, all those things that you did in the body that weren't right, burn in the fire, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God does that with his own body, does that with his own church. He does that with his own bride. As a matter of fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, by the time you get to marry the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a virgin. He said, that can't be possible in this flesh. You're right. But your soul has never been joined to anything other than your flesh. And God cut that away by a spiritual circumcision. And you were born again in the Spirit. And therefore, by being born again, you are a new creature. And that new creature has never been married to anybody. Because your body is dead by the law, by the body of Christ. Dead to the law by the body of Christ. So when you come to Christ and marry him as a husband, you come to him as a chaste virgin. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband." Well, there's only one then, Jesus Christ. "That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So these religions that talk about you going up and having a lot of women to marry in your paradise or in your heaven or in your wherever you go, those religions are perverted, because there's only one husband to marry in eternity. That's Jesus Christ. And there's only one bride, and she's a chaste virgin. And she marries Christ. So all those other religions are wrong. Now that comes from somebody who actually went up there, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and saw those things, and had those things revealed to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. So go over here to Revelation chapter 19, and look at the marriage. Revelation chapter 19, look at the marriage in verses 7 and 8. "Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." Well, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We know that's Jesus. "And his wife hath made herself ready." That's the church. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of whom? Saints." Saints. So when you get saved, you become a child of God, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and you become a member of his flesh and of his bones. That is, Christ's body is already up there in heaven, and you're a part of that body. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, he's already raised us up together and already made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when you see the phrase "in Christ" somewhere in the New Testament, like all throughout the book of Ephesians, you're talking about somebody who is literally in that body, in Christ. All right, and so if you're in Christ, then lots of things happen. Obviously, you can't lose your salvation. He'd have to kick you out of heaven and amputate a part of his body to get you out. That's why eternal security is such a sure doctrine. Furthermore, you can't go back and marry the man that you were married to before, that is your flesh, according to the law. And he said, I write this to those that know the law. You can't go back and do that, because Christ said that's abomination. And he wouldn't force you to do that under any circumstances. But let me show you what the great picture is of all these things you've seen. Since you are a member of his flesh and of his bones, like Eve was to Adam, and since verse 31 is quoted from Genesis 2:24, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and should be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, then this great mystery concerning Christ and the church is like this. Eve came from Adam, right out of his body. So the Holy Spirit puts you in the body of Christ, and when the time comes for the marriage, you come from Christ's body to marry him. Eve was joined unto Adam, having come out of his body. The church is joined unto Jesus Christ, having come out of his body. So the picture is complete. What happened in Genesis chapter 2 is the very same thing that happens in Revelation 19. As it started, so it ends. God wastes nothing when he shows you things in the Bible. And when he puts things back together the way they started, he puts them back together right. And the way he did it for Adam and Eve is the way he'll do it for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll live with him forever as his bride. But this time, thank God, in a sinless body, we won't go through that other problem that happened with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. So you see then how this makes more sense. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Those are the only body parts that were left out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The foot was there, the eye was there, and all that stuff. But the head, that's Jesus Christ. He's the head of the body of the church. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul suffered afflictions for Christ in the flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So now you see it's not the local church. It's not your denomination. It's not the baptismal pool into which you were baptized. You enter this body by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit when you are born again by the Holy Spirit, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, not by works, not by baptism, not by religion, not by any other means. You go into the body of Christ when you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. Now, you've probably seen something here today that you hadn't seen before, so I encourage you to go through this and study it out.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.